this word just keeps coming up in me this morning from 2 Chronicles. I mean, the Chronicles 7, 2 Chronicles 7, 14. And the scripture says, tells us, if my people, which are called by my name, would humble themselves and pray, then I would hear from heaven and heal their land. That's not really what it says, though. I just want to see if anybody was paying attention. It says, if my people, which are called by my name, would humble themselves and turn from their wicked ways. There's a point that there's a place in our life that's not that God doesn't do. It's on us to do. When we repent and we come before God, He is faithful to forgive us of our sins. But there comes this point of turning. This point of turning. And when we turn, repentance is really an about face. And it's turning in the pursuit of God. We once was walking in this direction. We once was going after the things of our flesh or what we knew or the world. And sometimes we're just lost. We don't even know what we're going for. We're just going. The Bible says we were all born in sin and shaped in iniquity. And from the very birth, from our mother's womb, we were born into a sinful world and a sinful nature. But there's this point of turning that where we repent and we turn and our salvation now, and we look, we're seeing God, and we're seeing the things of God, and we're hearing the voice of God, and we're turning. Now, what this scripture's talking about in Chronicles says, and turn from your ways, stop doing the things you're doing, and get in a place of prayer, and then heaven's going to hear you, and I'm going to come in a powerful way. A powerful way. And many of us know the passage of scripture in Matthew that's the prayer that we've all heard over and over and over again, our Father which art in heaven. But prior to that passage of scripture, it says this: when you pray, be sincere and not like the pretenders who love the attention they receive while praying before others in meetings and on the street corners. So much of our Christian culture today is this prayer that we pray on Sunday morning, this prayer that we pray in public places, or this, and can I just be real with you this morning? This Christianity that we robe up and we wear sometimes and things we don't wear at other times. And we create a Christian culture that says, I'm doing all the right things, but are we doing all the right things? Or are we just doing things that we think others think we should do? You know, there's no freedom in just doing what we think others think we should do. It's freedom in doing what God has called us and purposed us to do. Amen. You want to walk in complete freedom? And I'm going to be careful how I say this, but don't worry about what your neighbor thinks. Worry about what God thinks. Or don't worry about more what your neighbor thinks than what God thinks. I heard a powerful word this week, and I've heard it. This is my fourth time to hear it at the JH Ranch. I took my daughter this week, and they said this alarming word that you hear for the first time, and they paused for a moment. I'm going to say it to you just the way they did. They said, young people, don't marry Christians. And first that takes you back, like we tell our kids, please marry a Christian. They say, don't marry Christians, marry a godly man or woman. Because there's this cloak of Christianity that might not necessarily be godly. Now, we know that Christianity is those who follow Christ. And Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. But Christianity is much deeper than our attendance on Sunday morning. And God has called us to be godly, to be holy, to be set apart for His purpose. To walk in holiness. Now, let me just help you a little bit. How many knows what holiness is? Yeah, y'all afraid to raise your hand? I love that. It's good. The Bible says, without holiness, no man shall see God. And we think of holiness and we think of all the different Christian cultures that we come out of. Come on. You come from this culture of Christianity, we call this holy. You come from this culture of Christianity, we call this holy. You come out of this church or this denomination, we call this holy. But let me explain to you what holiness is. It's full of God. Let me tell you something. If you get full of God, you'll be holy. You get full of God, you'll be righteous. You get full of God, you'll live a godly life. But if your Christianity is Sunday morning Christianity, you're going to struggle and battle with even doing what you think is holy. Good. You're going to be in a war, a struggle of what do I think is holy? What is acceptable? What's unacceptable? What can I do? As a kid growing up in a very religious world, I was, what can we get a by with? How close can we get to hell without falling in? How much can we trust God? How much can we trust knowing who He is and knowing what He's about? This week was a very powerful moment, as I've done it several times, but when you harness yourself to a wire above your head and you strap this strap on and you're 45 feet in the air and you're standing on a wood platform. I wish I had a picture right now so you could see this. And you're standing on a wood platform 45 feet in the air and you've got to step off and it's a foot below you. It's not even. And you've got to step off on this little tiny wire about this big. And you got to start walking across that wire. And it's 30 or 40 feet to the next platform. And you're suspended up there in space. Now, you're buckled in. You're very safe. You've done this. And you're suspended in the air. And all of your and you're trusting in what's above you. And you're trusting in your partner. And that's all you got. And a whole bunch of people waiting on you to go so they can go. No pressure. And you're walking across this wire. And you're tethered to this safety line. And so many times in our life, we think we know what's safe. We think we know what's best for us. And we never give God a chance to see the supernatural. We don't live in that place of miracle. We don't live in that place of trusting God because we trust in our flesh and what's tangible on this earth. But let me tell you something. All of this that you think is safe will fail. There's only one thing that's going to last, and that's Him. And sometimes in our life, we got to step out into that realm of faith and say, God, I'm trusting You 100%. I'm believing on You 100%. So He says, don't pray in the streets. Don't do like the heathens do. Just, you know, they pray in the street. They make a big deal out of their cult, their Christianity, and they're flashing and they're smiling and they got it all together. But He says this, believe Me, they already have received their full reward. But whenever you pray, go into your innermost chamber and be alone with the Father. Be alone with the Father. Pray to Him in secret. I want to challenge you with something this morning. I want to challenge you to find your secret place with God. I want to challenge you to move out of all the noise that you're in, all the things that are going on in your life, and I want you to find your secret place with God. And I want you to raise your hand. I'm just going to ask you a question. How many of you in this place need God to come through big time for you? Raise your hand. You're in a place that you need God to come a miracle in your life. And look, I'm for counseling. I'm for getting help. I'm not against that. But if we trust only in those things and we don't go to the secret place with God, the secret place. Heather and I was visiting on the way up there. I had a great time with her. She's just an incredible kid. And we're visiting and we were talking about just, you know, how being healed and being set free and walking in deliverance and walking in hope. And my 19-year-old says something to me. She says, when do we come to the place that we trust God that we don't continually have to be helped by others to know Him? Amen. When does our cross not become a crutch? But it becomes a lifestyle. When does our relationship with God and our intimacy with God is centered around me and Him, not me and all of us? Because I'm going to tell you something. It's not sustainable. It's not sustainable in this life that your relationship with God is in the four walls of this church or any other church. That's not sustainable. Because the enemy doesn't come and attack us in church. Come on, somebody. The enemy waits till we walk outside that door, because in here, man, we can put our worship on and we can get our praise on and we can get our woo, hallelujah on. But when we walk out that door is when we're going to need the mercy and the kindness and the goodness of God, and we better be in relationship with Him. Can I get a better amen?
Amen.
Here's what I love about God. He shows up even when we don't ask a lot of times, because He's good. My daddy always said, the Lord takes care of fools and babies, son, and you ain't no baby. He's good. He's a good father. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. But there's something about knowing Him, having an intimate place with Him. And we want to hear God's word. And listen, today you're hearing the word of God being preached to you today. But God wants to talk to you. God wants to take you into a secret place and speak things in your life that's just you and Him. But you got to create a secret place for Him to speak. You got to find that prayer place, that place that you get before God with your Bible and you get a notebook and you get a pen and you begin to write down what God is speaking. What is the Lord speaking to me? Now, people look at me and say, "You just, God talks to you?" I said, all the time. But He always talks to me when I make room for Him. It's not that His talking gets louder, it's my listening gets better. I'm going to say that again. It's not that His talking gets louder, it's my listening gets better. I don't know if that's good grammar, but it's a good word. Praying to Him in secret, and your Father who sees all you do will reward you openly. And when you pray, there is no need to repeat empty phrases, praying like those who don't know God. You know, people that don't know God, they pray these kind of prayers. Help me, God, 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 help me, God. Oh, God, I need help, God. God, 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 here's my list. Whoop, here's my list. But people who know God trust God. And so they pray intimate prayers. Like, they listen. They're not just talking. They're listening. Let's read on so I can finish this out. And there is no need to imitate them, since your Father already knows what you need before you ask Him. And so He said, pray like this: Our Father that dwells in the heavenly realm, may the glory be your name. You move into this place of intimacy with God. God of heaven and earth, you already know my need. I don't need to pray begging, pleading prayers. The Bible says that the Lord stands at the door and knocks. And if any man answer the door and invite Him in, He'll invite you in. He's already interested in your life. He's already wanting an intimate place with you. He's waiting for you to just say, here's the place, here's the table, God. Here's my setting. And I want you to come into my life, God, and I want you to begin to speak to my heart. I want to just back up just a minute. If we're going to have a sustainable life, now see, we're protected. Today, how many had to go through this morning on your way to church this morning? You had to pass through a barricade with soldiers standing in it, with guns in their hands. None of us did that. Most of us came to church late today because we were so chill that we were just relaxed. And we just came casually to church. Now, I'm not picking on you today. I came casually to church too. And we live our lives like, okay, it's Sunday morning. Let's get up and go to church. Tomorrow we'll get up and go to our pantry and pull out our food to eat. And if we run out of food, we just go to Johnny's house because they always got food. We drive in our nice cars. We live in our great homes, and I'm thankful for that. I'm not saying that's wrong. I'm saying, but all of those things that can be a distraction to our life because there's not a desperate need for God, and so our lives become self-fulfilling. But let me tell you something, that's not sustainable. Because it's not when you're going to have, it's not if you're going to have a storm, it's when you're going to have a storm. And here's the thing about Daniel. Daniel could have just said, you know what? For 30 days, I don't have to pray and I'll be safe. For 30 days, I don't have to pray. 30 days and I can just coast. 30 days. That's all I got to do. I could just shut my prayer life off for 30 days and I won't see a lion's den. But Daniel had such a passion for God. He said, even if I go to the lion's den, my relationship with God is more important than anything else in my life. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, if I live or if I die, I will not deny who I am in Christ. I'm going to walk in the purpose that God has called me to, and I'm going to trust Him for the victory. So when we talk about sustainable and ability to walk with God when the crisis of our life comes, it's going to be because we've already been in the secret place with God. Daniel didn't wait till he got to the lion's den to start his prayer life. Can I get a better amen? And so many of our prayers are when we get in the lion's den, we're like, God save me! Daniel just probably, you know, the lion's mouth was shut. Daniel's chilling in the lion's den. The lions come out and everybody's looking over the edge like, this is going to be gross. The lions are roaring and then the gate opens and the lions walk out. And just, I could just see Daniel like, here, kitty, kitty. God got this. Yeah. We overcome the work of the enemy before the enemy arises. We live from glory to glory. We live in the place of victory. We live, like Romans 8 says, we've already overcome. We stand and knowing who we are in Christ Jesus. And I have a fresh word from Him. Why? Because I've been in the secret place. Not because I've been to church. Not because I went to a camp meeting. Not because I went to a conference. Not because I heard somebody on an iPod or whatever. Because I've been in the secret place with God. And in the secret place with God, I know who He is and He knows who I am. There's an intimate place. And He says, you know, when Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? I want the devil to say, uh-oh. He got up again this morning. He's walking in victory today. He's living in the realm of the supernatural. No weapon formed against him can prosper. Why? He's heard a word from God. He's walking out of a prayer closet. He's been in a secret place. He knows who God is, and God knows who He is. And you become a very powerful force in the kingdom of God. Last thing I'm going to say. We cannot live on yesterday's manna. Because yesterday's manna is stale. It's not my word for today. It was my word for yesterday. Can I help you just a little bit? We have great breakthrough and we want to live for years in our breakthrough. And we're still trying to talk about the revival we had then. And God's wanting us to talk about the revival we're having now. Man, I had breakthrough back 10 years ago. I remember, hey, it's all right to remember those places, but remember, God wants you to live in breakthrough. Amen. David said, I look to the hills from whence cometh my help. My help coming from the Lord. Yeah, I did kill a lion and bear there, but I'm about to take out a giant. Yeah. It was only prophecy for his next. By the way, David learned how to worship before there was any bear, before there was any lion, and before there was any giant. Oh, let me preach just a little bit longer. And when he got himself in trouble, when he sinned against God and his family. Mercy came to his door because he already knew who his daddy was. The devil wants nothing more than when we fall into the trap of our flesh or sin and then to tell you, well, you don't really know your daddy anyway, so throw in the towel. But when we know our daddy, we're going to make mistakes. We can say, hey, this is sustainable. I may have failed today, but I'm getting up for tomorrow. Right. And the Bible says that David was a man after God's own heart. He had a passion for the presence of God. And if I can leave you with one thing this morning, one thing. I'll wrap all this up in one bow. Have a passion for his presence. Have a passion to hear his voice. If you've never heard the voice of God, get in a still, quiet place and hear God's voice. If it means you got to turn off everything in your life, and I say everything, I mean everything. Turn off the spouse. Turn off the work. Turn off the vacation. Turn off this. Turn everything off and get alone with God. Amen. In a quiet place. And learn how to hear his voice. Listen, I love this woman. I'm going to celebrate her birthday this week. We're going to celebrate all week long. But let me tell you something. She's not sustained. That's the sustainable thing in my life. God is. God is. My relationship with her is incredible, better than it's ever been. But I'm going to tell you this. I'm God forbid. But if tomorrow she's not there, I'm going to be okay. Because my trust is in God. My trust is in the one who has forever changed my life. And I'm going to get in that secret place with him, and I'm going to know him. I'm going to know him because I'm going to have a crisis in my life. I got 5 kids and a son-in-law. I'm going to have some crisis in my life. Come on. I got a church I pastor. All of y'all are my kids. I'm going to have a crisis in my life. Come on, somebody. The lights are all going to come on in 2 or 3 of my cars like they are right now, all at the same time. I'm going to have a crisis in my life. My bank account sometimes is going to spit that little thing out, the ATM is saying, sorry, dude, you're broke. I'm going to have crisis in my life. But if my hope is in this terra firma and this world and these things, guess what? When my crisis come, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go find something to drink. I'm going to run to the world. I'm going to chase after something that will fulfill a brokenness in my heart only for a moment, and then I'll be more broke than ever before. But when I know him, when I reach that wall in my life and that crisis in my life, I say, merciful God, you know my need before I ever pray. I'm trusting in you. Come on, somebody. I want you to step into the kingdom today. I don't want to say this wrong. I don't want to say this wrong because I love church. I love Sunday morning. I love it. I love it. I love it. Couldn't wait to be here this morning. But this can't be all I have. And I want us to step out of church and into kingdom. When we step out of church into kingdom, then our next step is to be the church. But we can never be the church while we're only the church, only in the four walls of the church. John said to me this morning, John said, there's something burning in me this morning, Pastor. Do you mind if I go a little longer? I said, why are you asking? You are anyway. But he said, man, we got to be the church. We can't just do this 1 week out of the month, out of the year, royal family, although we love that. But we got to be the church. We got to be the church. And I don't want you to miss next Sunday because I'm going to be talking about how to become a disciple and to be a discipler. I'm going to talk about discipleship next Sunday, so don't miss. It'll be amazing. Is next Sunday Father's Day? No, I'm not going to talk about that next Sunday. We'll talk about the next Sunday. All right? So let's don't miss, but don't miss Father's Day either. Let's stand.